Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast with me, Andy Goldstein, the host of the Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily. Yep, you get the idea. What a podcast we've got coming up. And it begins, oh dear, with Simon Jordan and Danny Kelly on the final word, talking about West Ham United's victory over Manchester. Roll the tape.
And there goes the full-time whistle. Well, the number seven has always been an iconic number for Manchester United from the days of Best, Cantona and Ronaldo. It is now an emblem of their demise. Seven successive away games without a win in the Premier League. That equals a club record set by Louis van Gaal in 2014. It finishes here. West Ham 2, Manchester United 0.
Earlier today, Manchester United lost 2-0 at West Ham. The internet, Simon was telling at the top of the show, awash with the hashtag Ole out. And after the game, the United manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, spoke about his team's defeat.
As a manager, you look at everything that's got to improve. We want to be better defending, we want to be better attacking, we want to have more energy. You're always looking to improve and continue to work and in the way we believe. And we had the moments today, we didn't grasp them, and we just have to accept that West Ham deserve the win.
Listen, I liked Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as a player. He seems to be a very decent bloke as well when he does his sort of slightly comical press conferences as well. But Simon Jordan, the problem here is that he's managing, whether he likes it or not, one of the biggest institutions in world sport, not just football. Solskjaer, to use your infamous phrase, was an unavoidable mistake, that the mistake that the club had to make after that result in Paris. I mean, are the fans right to start hashtagging him out? How does that work politically? How can they change their mind again?
Well, they can. I mean, is it right? I think the bulk of the Man United fans were very much in favour of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I think that they saw a sea change. I think they were blinded by the light that was suddenly shining over Old Trafford after the darkness and the clouds disappeared after Jose Mourinho disappeared over the horizon. And I think that in this particular instance, we've been very critical, you and I, of Woodward, and we'll get into him in a second. Mm-hmm. But if we look at the Manchester United appointments over the last 6 years from when Alex Ferguson stepped out the door, and we can deliberate who appointed David Moyes, whether it was Alex Ferguson's recommendation or was it indeed a David Gill advocation or was it indeed Ed Woodward. But if you look at Moyes, it's a reasonable decision. If you look at Louis van Gaal, prima facie, it's a reasonable decision. If you look at Jose Mourinho and say, who can go into a Man United dressing room and occupy more space and air than the players, Mourinho. But if you look at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's decision based upon his management credentials, his career path, and the simple fact that he hasn't really performed as a manager anywhere of any recognition, then you have to start saying, who the hell is making these decisions for the long-term benefit of Manchester United? Because there seems to be a long way away from the Man United that you and I have admired and mm-hmm. revered and now look at and say, are we really looking down the barrel? Neither one of us are Man United fans, but are we looking down the barrel of a Manchester United decline that mirrors not the early 70s, but perhaps the 80s, when they were a distant cousin of the Liverpools of the world in terms of success.
And staying with that show, they were also reacting to Liverpool's 2-1 win over Chelsea. Jurgen Klopp and Frank Lampard were live, get that, live on TalkSport. How about that? Good work, everyone.
Jürgen, as you'd like with Talk Sport, first of all, many congratulations today. 6 wins out of 6, 2 cracking goals today by your team, and they battled as well for you.
That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. We have to fight for it, and that's the boys are ready for that. I'm really happy about the way we played today. We had a lot of things to improve, but that's clear. Anyway, it's always like this, but so many good pressing situations. It was so smart how we defended, how we closed them down, then winning the ball, and then unfortunately, with these balls, we didn't. The stuff we did was not often enough, good enough. But for that, we had 4 scoring goals. We had a set pieces, and that was brilliant. How is that? Could have scored number 3 and 4 after halftime. They were really big. They were really big chances. But you don't do that. So, yeah, just game is open, and that's what you have to accept. We did that, but we fought hard for it, and we deserved it.
City won yesterday impressively. I know you've just spoken about that. Was that any kind of inspiration to you? And what are the things that you can improve on? You just said you want to improve on some things.
Oh, decision-making, passing in decided moments. Next week, we'll talk about something else probably. But winning a ball is good. But anyway, if you want a ball, you have to make the right things with it. Now we have still space. We do that very often really good. But Chelsea is a proper football team. And so it was really, it was a hard shift today. But the boys did it. And so really pleased about it.
Frank Lampard joining us live here on TalkSport. Frank, first of all, I think you said before the game, you're looking for a 90-minute performance from your team today. You certainly got a good 45 minutes in the second half.
Yeah, it's not 90, though, is it? But I thought the first half was OK. There wasn't much between the teams other than a great free kick, a disappointing one to concede from us, VAR, and maybe Tammy not taking the chance. Other than that, it's a very even game. In the second half, we're the better team. You know, we certainly shouldn't lose the game on performance levels, and we possibly could have won it if we'd have got that equaliser sort of in the last 15 minutes, but wasn't to be. So pluses in the performance, lessons in the detail within that move, we lost the game.
I said on Talk Sport today, I think VAR is ruining football because it's giving the defensive team too much of an advantage, and we're seeing so many goals yesterday with Spurs today for your team ruled out for it's offside. It's a half a toe, it's offside.
Yeah, they see it at stake, so it's frustrating. It definitely kills the moment, that's for sure. And people pay their money, they want to celebrate, the players want to celebrate, and now we all have to try and wait a moment, and it's difficult. I saw the Tottenham game as well yesterday, and it's a shame when you're talking about tight decisions, but we have to accept it. It's here, it's not going anywhere. I don't see it. I just hope that some go in our favour very soon.
You're getting there, aren't you, with this team?
I think so, and you know, the points, I won't look at the table much this week because I don't think the points show that, but I have a belief in where we're going, and I know what I want from them, and I saw loads of things in the second half. The way we switched to play, the way we were aggressive in our play, and the energy that we expended, and the way we put a team like Liverpool on the back foot, seriously on the back foot, was what I want from us. And it needs to be week in, week out. It can't be 45 minutes against Sheffield United or 45 minutes against Leicester. It needs to be that second half, regular, week in, week out, put pressure on ourselves to play like that, and then we will be okay.
I'm Alan Brazil, and this is TalkSport Daily.
On now to the WSB, or the Weekend Sports Breakfast, as we call it here at TalkSport Towers, and Tony Cascarino. Big Tony Cascarino is how we also refer to him here, was scathing of Watford's performance against Man City, where, of course, Man City scored 8 goals against Watford, who scored none. Horrific.
I just want to say, Georgie, on Watford, they are down already, OK? They're going to get relegated. And I know they're bottom of the league and they've started the season different.
Well, really?
Well, no, if you look at...
Are they that poor?
Kapui and Delafeu were poor. Then Decore in midfield alongside Kapui were, I felt, just the way they played last season. They're a shadow of that team with them two in front of that back four.
Yeah.
That De Bruyne and Silva run the show yesterday. Every time they got on the ball, very little pressure. No one got near to them. You're going to get beat 6 or 7. They ended up losing 8. But Watford, if they don't start competing, they cannot win football matches. And they're going to get hammered a lot. As much as we praised them last season, you take your foot off the pedal and you don't compete, they are going to get battered.
And is this, because we always talk about how you don't expect to get points or win points off City or Liverpool, so, you know, anything you do is a bonus. But actually, I didn't think any result against City could be damaging. But then I look at yesterday and I think, that was seriously damaging for Watford. Is it really just a foot pedal problem? Because... They've got the same personnel that we have been... OK, their record against top six is poor, but that have at times been really great to watch in the last couple of years, that made an FA Cup final, albeit with horrific league form, because I think they just switched off because they knew they were safe last year. So Stoke, for example, to those, you know, everyone involved with Stoke when the year they got relegated said they just slept, walked into it. That's what I now see with Watford. Is that fair?
Yeah. And I mean, look, there's different many phrases you can use for taking your foot off of the pedal, losing the edge in your game, competing. If you don't do that in any sport, now we're going to talk Spurs later, okay, about their defeat at Leicester. And Christian Eriksen's come under scrutiny. Christian Eriksen's not playing to the level, the intensity that he had, that makes him a very good player.
Yep.
And if you don't do that as a sportsman, whether it's a tennis player, golfer, if you lose that edge about your performance and desire to compete, you are finished. And Watford are finished as we stand today, because I'm looking at that team and watching that performance, and I see Hughes, Decore, Kapoue just not reaching the levels. If you're central midfielders and wide men, you are going to get wiped to the floor.
Staying with that theme, it was Danny Mills that waded into Watford. He joined Mark Saggers and Ray Houghton on the Sunday exclusive.
They threw the towel in after, I have to say, 15 minutes.
So we're five down after 19.
Well, they went... Mahrez was clever for the penalty. He was never going to score. But as he was going through, Foster was coming out. He just kicked the ball to the side, which meant that Foster was not going to get the ball, and he took him out. It's a penalty. And you sort of saw shoulders drop immediately from that point. And then, of course, it's three only moments later. And that was it. It was game over from that point. It was bizarre. Watford started quite well. They had a couple of half chances. You know, I think I can't remember who went through. And Edison made a decent save and it just rolled wide. I thought, oh, wow, this is going to be a really open game. But City just turned the show. Kevin De Bruyne was off the scale amazing. I mean, the crosses that he was putting in were just sublime. Absolute. The first one for David Silva. You know, we were sat in the stand. We sat with sort of producers. Oh, wow, you won't see a better cross than that all season. I said, just wait till next week. And I didn't have to wait till next week. There was another two in the same game. It was just incredible. I mean, I think Ben Foster said afterwards it could have been 9, 10, 11, 12. And it could have, I think they hit woodwork three times. The finishing at times was poor. Aguero missed an absolute hatful. It was incredible. But City were just rampant. I mean, it was incredible. Incredible to watch. But almost painful for Watford. It
but that's
really
what they can do.
Men against boys.
When you've got that talent and they've got that fear factor, what they can do to you, then you know you're up against it. You know, was it five you said after 19 minutes?
Something like
18
that.
18 minutes, 5-0 down. It was almost like, you know, like you get kids' games in the park where you're like, you know what, call it off. You don't need any more embarrassment. I mean, it's interesting, you know, when you go to the Etihad now, because the crowd just expect it. Goals go in and it's like, it's polite clap. It's like, you know, there's a cheer when the goal goes in, but it's like, yeah, okay. We've
seen that before.
Yeah, we expect to see three or four goals. It's almost like they're not impressed by some of the outstanding football. They've been spoiled.
Back now to Big Tony Cascarino on the Weekend Sports Breakfast Show. And he worries for Spurs this season. Oh, I worry about them.
It was a really strange afternoon because obviously the one massive decision went against Spurs. You know, that decision on Sun that is probably as marginal as you can get that wasn't given has had an effect on the result. We can't ignore that decision. But if we look at Tottenham's form, especially away from home, and the manner they've lost some of the games, you know, the manner they lost against Newcastle at home. Now, he's got a problem, Poch, because obviously, Eriksen came on as a sub yesterday, but I'm never a fan of managers choosing players who are in their final year of a contract or have had their heads turned to go to a move. I'll give you two examples. One was Sanchez at Arsenal. His final year at Arsenal was so below par compared to his previous seasons. Eriksen started the season, apart from coming on a sub against Aston Villa, he's had no impact at all. Now, he's come on as a sub, so he's sort of part of the squad and he's not going to play to the levels that Eriksen played before. And another one, Arnautovic at West Ham. When he had his head turned at China last January, he was a non-event for between January and the end of the season.
By the way, I'm not sure we can compare the two because I think Arnautovic was behaved disgracefully, and I don't think he's behaving in any way and manner, but there's definitely an element of having his head turned.
Yeah, I'm not talking about his behaviour because Eriksen is not really... I just feel the performance of Eriksen and all that stability that was at the club for a number of seasons was everyone was under contract and everyone felt like they was fighting for their shirt to be in the side and it was working brilliantly for the side. I don't think that's the case today. There's a lot more uncertainty at Spurs now than there's ever been, in certainly in Poch's reign at the football club.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalised plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Jason Cundy here, and you're listening to TalkSport Daily.
The World Cup began on Friday. Not the proper World Cup, you know, that's football. We all know that. This is egg chasing. Anyway, the World Cup winner Mike Tindall was speaking to Saggers about England's really tough win over Tonga in the rugby. Wasn't tough at all, was it?
I think the only thing you can pull out positively is they've got the try bonus. I think everything else is pretty negative. Not meaning that in a bad way, just I think they've approached it far too conservatively, this game. Whether, again, I'll go back to whether that's just they don't really want to show Argentina and France anything, but you then go, okay, well, then you do the basics right if you're going to play a simple game plan. 10, 11, 12 handling errors, just not good enough. It's looked sloppy, it's looked difficult. You're talking about a Tonga team that's just put no attack together whatsoever. So you didn't even have to do really creative stuff to get what you wanted. And so I'm just a frustrated fan at the moment, just sat here watching and going, you know, Eddie's going to go mad with them, I think, because they've still, with 35 points on the board, they must have left another 30 out there with handling errors, and that's the frustrating part from it.
Do it nearly in a way, though, Mike, say, you know, look, we've got that behind us, we've done what we had to do, we got the bonus point, as you mentioned there, with that late try, and now we've got to not just put everything behind us, learn from what we haven't done well, which was obviously the handling that you talked about there too, but in some ways, is there a lot that can be done, or is everybody, how do you refocus a side after a performance like that?
Again, I don't think they need to learn too much. It's just that handling errors appear in a game and they frustrate all fans and myself watching. I don't feel that you saw a lot of them trying to play through phases to actually create holes. It was very two phase, then we'll kick down there, we'll put pressure back on them. And this is, which is fine for a different team, but this is a Tonga team that wasn't really causing them any issues defensively. So why don't you just try and keep the ball a little bit more? So it does spring to my mind that they are holding things back and wanted to play a very simplistic game to basically cover off not showing anything. But in World Cups, if they had gone away without a four try bonus point win there, that would have been just a cardinal sin, and I don't think you can risk that. Hopefully Eddie's then going to throw the whole kitchen sink next week at the USA and actually get us playing the way that we're going to play for the rest of the games.
Back now to Simon Jordan on Simon Jordan's final word. And of course, if you know Simon, you'll know he never ever finishes the final word. It just goes on and on and on. Anyway, he gave his final final word on the final word on Newcastle fans' protests yesterday.
My final word this week is about Newcastle, and I can imagine that I'm going to get so far up Newcastle fans' noses that they're going to be able to feel my boots on their chins. But notwithstanding it, I watched the game yesterday, and I watched 43,000 fans in a 52,000 capacity in this huge club that has a Geordie roar, that has such precedence in the minds of the supporters. And I find myself querying the thinking, integrity and relationship that fans have with their clubs. We know, everybody knows and understands you don't like the owner. Everybody knows and understands that maybe Stevie Bruce, my old manager, who is a very capable man, very decent man, isn't your first choice. We all know that Rafa Benitez walked on water, that his integrity was not beyond reproach, or was beyond reproach, or whatever the terminology I should be saying in that respect is. Of course, that's before he disappeared off to China for 12 million quid. But it just made me feel slightly sad that, and ultimately, a club that has such value at its heart and the supporters that have such value of their club would want to support their club. And the key word here is support, by staying away from it. The players, whether you like the owner, is academic. This football club isn't making a fortune. It made £18 million last year, which is not a fortune. And ultimately, the fans that support a club are the lifeblood of a club. And when I sat there watching it, it made me feel that football supporters have to take a greater responsibility than just being able to shout people in and out of jobs, in and out of ownership, managers being told that they're not good enough, players being shouted at by fans. And I'm a fan, and I'm a former owner that was a fan, but I do think there is a right way to support clubs and there's a wrong way to support it. No one says that Newcastle fans have to support Mike Ashley. I'm not in a support Mike Ashley camp. I do know this football club is up for sale. I wonder of whom would buy this football club, and I'm very aware of what's going on with that transaction, would want to buy a football club when 9,000-10,000 fans, 20% of their fan base, when they don't like something, dissent. Because with respect, Newcastle aren't in decline. They may not have taken the opportunities that other football clubs have had, and they may not have got the owners they wanted. But it just made me feel that football is such an important part of people's lives. It's a one-club city. Whether you like Mike Ashley or not, why would you not be in the stadium supporting the football club that you purport to love? And that's my final word.
And now, of course, for the best bits of the Trans-Europe Express, or as most people call it now, the Andy Goldstein Trans-Europe Express, or as a lot of people will soon be calling it, the award-winning Trans-Europe Express. Listen, let's start with what I think all football fans, not just fans of European football, know. And that's Barcelona and Real Madrid. Okay, I'll start with Barcelona, right? Because they lost 2-0 at the weekend to Granada. Luis Suarez come out and said it's going to be a tough year ahead, Andy Brassel. Why? Because when I look at Barca, when I look at Real, I just think, how can anything be tough for you two superpowers and giants of European football? What's quite not happening at the moment? Let's start with Barca. Why is it not working with them?
Well, Barcelona authored one of the worst performances that I can remember them doing in a long time. And that comes just, 4 days after Real Madrid were... I really got off lightly by losing 3-0 at Paris Saint-Germain against the Paris Saint-Germain side, as you pointed out to me when we were talking about this before, that was minus Cavani, that was minus Neymar, that was minus Mbappe, and still were in cruise control for a lot of that. Barcelona, I think the news of their not demise, but certainly the fact that they're declining is a little more shocking to people, because with Real Madrid, I think people have felt it's in the post for a while. They really had to scrap and battle, or fluke, depending on which way you look at it, their way to the 2018 Champions League final, and who knows how that would have turned out if Mo Salah hadn't have been injured or Karius hadn't have been concussed, etc., etc., etc. We've been all over it. But since then, they've looked nowhere near. Barcelona, of course, domestically, have been pretty unimpeachable. I mean, they've won 8 out of the last 11 La Liga titles. They won the double the season before last. Last season, they were very close to doing so, and then lost to Valencia in the Copa del Rey final. And interesting article, actually, for the Evening Standard today by their Spanish football correspondent, Ben Hayward, saying that really, Barcelona, it's all about timing. Barcelona should have got rid of Ernesto Valverde at the end of last season, when it didn't work out in the Copa del Rey final, when it was clear they couldn't pick themselves back up after the way in which they were knocked out of the Champions League by Liverpool because of how tactically deficient they are. And that's not to say that Valverde hasn't done great things for the club. He's stabilised them in many ways. Post Neymar, he got them to win the title, which they weren't favourites for in 17-18, and again last year. So, you know, that's not to be sniffed at. But Barcelona look to have so little in the tank at the moment. They look to have so little response when things go wrong.
That's it now for a podcasty thing. Well done. Thanks as always for downloading. The next one will be out at the same time tomorrow. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from Talk Sport.
The Talk Sport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.